The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Whatever's on your mind today, whatever is exercising you, then by all means do get in touch. We're on the open line, Man in Line, today till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Got a note in from Gail who said, Andy, you were talking about what's best about the Isle of Man, and somebody was talking about Scarlet, really liking Scarlet. I must say, Manx Radio's webcam of Scarlet is absolutely fantastic. I think there are three or four views of Scarlet on the webcam page at manxradio.com. Actually, it's not ours, it's Scarlet Point. They're one of the people who allow us to stream their webcam at manxradio.com. But the Scarlet webcams are brilliant, and some people just leave them on all day long, particularly some of the Manx diaspora around the world just love seeing that. There's a live one of the calf as well, and a live one from Manx Radio of the harbour. If you've not seen our webcams yet, take a look. You can have a virtual tour of the Isle of Man. Gail, I'm glad you like the Scarlet webcam. Thanks for that. Yeah, somebody said they saw two big trailers of rock with about half a dozen big lumps of rock coming off the boat this morning. They said, why are we importing rock when we've got rock on the Isle of Man? Who's importing big lumps? I mean, these are huge lumps of rock. Thank you to the person who sent me the photo. So who's importing these big lumps? The sort of thing you see perhaps around mansions, but I don't know. Must have cost a fortune to bring them over. And any news on the Gary Ford ducks? I got a message from Rachel who said, I'm very worried about this. I used to love the ducks at Gary Ford. Is it true they're not there anymore? Well, Andrew said they're not there anymore. And if anybody's got news of where the ducks have gone from, I don't know whether they've gone somewhere else or whether it's avian flu that's done for them. We don't quite know. And a note in from Peter, this was, who just said, what's that number again for the Paul Rose United and Douglas Athletic changing rooms? The number is, if you want to speak to Paul Henry, 450-935. If you think you can help in any way so they can get some decent changing rooms, probably, you know, proper ones, brick, with plumbing and electricity and a kettle perhaps and a referee's room. 450-935. Paul Henry was on yesterday talking about the plight of not having... Well, they have got changing rooms. It's just they're a porter cabin. 4 months ago in May, a section of the additional promenade seawall in Douglas running from the Crescent Apartments south past the War Memorial was completed. Eric dropped a note in just to say, I thought they were going to put decorative panels. They were going to paint it. But it's not there, is it? Not entirely completed. The decorative panels have yet to be installed. The bulwark, which was designed to protect, amongst other things, the new tram tracks from onslaught in a storm, is in place. Have you seen the new wall? I mean, opinion is divided on the new wall, it has to be said. Some people quite like the fact it's there, and we've yet to see whether or not the decorative panels improve it. It's fair to say most people, certainly most people who've contacted Man in Line, actually don't like the idea of it because it spoils the view. But we haven't yet had the opportunity to see whether or not it sufficiently protects us from storms to kind of allay those fears. Here's Thurston with us now. Hi, Thurston.
Oh, hiya. Yeah, I'd just like to talk about Paloma Faith. She appeared at the Gaiety Theatre the other day.
Oh, was it a question and answer session she was doing? She was talking, wasn't she?
That's right, yeah. And I was outside the theatre with 100 people making a nuisance of ourselves, making a big noise. in support of Paloma Faith's stance on Palestine.
Right. What did she say, Thurston?
Well, she's on the record of supporting the people in Palestine and opposing the war in Gaza. But she appeared last night in one of the headliners at Wembley. There was a big gig called Together for Palestine.
Right.
There was Kate Bush featured, Benedict Cumberbatch, Richard Gere, Damon Albarn, Annie Lennox. And Paloma Faith was one of the headliners. To be honest, I won't lie, I didn't know who she was until last week, but now I know.
Good.
So it was a big gig at Wembley, Together for Palestine, it was called. Oh, and Cantona appeared on stage as well.
Eric Cantona, the footballer.
Yeah. He was asking footballers to boycott games against Israel because of their treatment to the Palestinians.
Right. I mean, do you think football, do you think sport should be kept out of politics?
I'm not really into sports. I'm the wrong person to ask, really.
Right. Because there's all this talk about various people boycotting the Eurovision Song Contest because of Israel being in the Eurovision Song Contest. But it seems like everything is being politicised, whether it's sport or music or what have you.
Mm. Well, I mean, they quite rightly expelled Russia from the Eurovision because of the invasion of Ukraine, which I'm totally in support of that move to expel Russia from the...
Well, it's a very good point. And also, I seem to remember, I'm trying to think, it was the Olympic Games back in the 1980s that Russia, everybody boycotted because Russia had invaded Afghanistan. That was years ago.
And also, if you look at the apartheid era, the sport boycott was crucial in bringing down apartheid in South Africa.
Yeah.
I think that's beyond doubt. So that's it, really.
Okay, all right, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today, Thurston.
Thank you, Andy.
Good to hear from you. It's 14 minutes past 12 now. I see the road and pavement on Shore Road, Port St Mary, is collapsing again, says David. Well, is that the one that's been done, or is it set to be done in the future? Talking of the DOI, as we are, because they're in charge of things like that, a week next Tuesday, the minister's going to be on. Michelle Hayward was with us. Actually, I'm trying to remember. It was a few weeks ago, but she's back. The DOI minister, Michelle Hayward, MHK, is the Russian MHK, is going to be talking about the DOI. So we'll get to that. I mean, the DOI is responsible for everything, really. It's a huge department, has huge responsibilities. So we'll be talking to Michelle Hayward. This week on Tuesday, Michelle Hayward will be here, that being Tuesday the 30th of September. Heavens, isn't the year just absolutely flying by? So any thoughts on the prom wall? What do you think about it? Now, we've had a chance to get used to it over the past few months. The fact that it's it takes the view away. There's no getting away from it, is it? It takes the view away. I see the ducks are down the White Bridge further down the river. Absolutely loads of ducks at the White Bridge. Any news when Douglas City Council are going to follow the lead of Ramsay and have a public accountability meeting and streamed live 2-2? Andy says, are DCC not transparent? Actually, I'll just bring that. We'll see this now, because Ramsay Commissioner's comments on social media about the death of the US commentator Charlie Kirk are now subject to a police investigation. Elizabeth Shimmin wrote that Mr. Kirk should, quote, burn in hell, in response to an online tribute. The Ramsay MHK, Laurie Hooper, says public representatives must remember they're speaking on behalf of their community. But here's the vice chair of Ramsay Commissioners, Sandra Cottam Shea, who spoke at the public meeting, the board's public meeting last night.
Board members and the public will be aware of matters arising from the comments posted by Commissioner Elizabeth Shimmin on social media. This matter is now under criminal investigation, which takes precedence and prevents any further public discussion at this time. For the information of the public, I as chair and we as a board have no mechanism to suspend or expel Ms. Shimmin from this meeting in law, and it is purely a matter for herself to reconcile.
That's Sandra Cottam Shea, so that's apparently now under criminal investigation. Andy, regarding these new menus in schools, fruit in school lunches would encourage discipline and good behaviour, especially when linked to a reward system or games using bananas, apples and other fruit. Also include fruit and drinks in the school curriculum. Surely, do they have lessons in nutrition, says Anthony. Do they have lessons in nutrition in school? I wonder, what's it called now? Food technology, I think it's called, isn't it? Used to be called domestic science. Could the rocks be for ballast? As I've heard, there's not enough weight on the boat. No, they were taken off the boat. Or maybe, well, I don't know, if anybody can tell us. This helps stabilise the vessel, otherwise the vessel is too high in the water and is unstable. They said that about the Ben McCree 25 years ago. I wish they'd use their brains at the steam packet to improve rates for getting the fabulous Manx produce off the Isle of Man. I think the rates that our food producers have to pay, certainly, apparently, the Isle of Man Creamery has said that the rates compared to the Scottish Isles and Channel Isles, it's very expensive compared to other parts, preventing deals being done from farmers and local producers, says Kath in Crosby. It's always a subject, isn't it? Everybody always says, and again, I go back 27 years since I started Man in Line in 1998. Everybody hated the Ben McCree. There wasn't a decent word said about that. Now, you probably make the Ben McCree a Manx saint. But everybody hated the Ben, and everybody always talked about how the steam packet was too expensive. And at the time, everybody talked about how Manx Airlines was too expensive. And again, now it's lionised in its absence. I'm not saying I know the way through this, but... Giant imported stones, you mean rocks of enormous proportions. Maybe it's the world-famous top-secret sculptors who are visiting the Isle of Man. What are they going to carve and sculpt, I wonder? Thank you, Sammy. The ducks are probably sat on eggs at the moment, says this correspondent. The ducks from Gary Ford. It would be nice to know where they are. Gary doesn't think the ducks are important. We shouldn't be worrying about the ducks, says Gary. Those Gary Ford ducks were delicious. I don't think you mean that. I see the road on Shore Road, Port St Mary, is collapsing again, says David. Lots of people reporting this. And a message in just says, plenty of ducks in the river alongside the NSC and the Gymnastics Club building on the other side. But the same as Gary Ford down at Russian Abbey. No ducks around Russian Abbey at the Ford there. Is that true? They are important. They're something to look forward to. They're part of the Isle of Man. And the wall. Paint it with a view of Douglas Bay that you can no longer see. Shame about the death of the dolphin by the seawall, says John. Where's that? Well, we don't quite know what the view's going to be on this new wall, do we? We'll see. Thank you, Daphne. One of my oil paintings. Very nice to see, Daphne. Thanks for that. Can somebody from the DOI explain, says Gary, why they're subcontracting the work that's being carried out on the mountain when they have the men who could quite easily do this work, which will probably cost three times the amount? And will the work be up to standard, says Gary. They're working on the Mountain Road's closed, isn't it? Is it until October the 20th, I think, the Mountain Road is going to be closed from Brandywell to the Craig. They're doing drainage work. Businesses on the mountain are open as normal, but Brandywell to the Craig is closed. So just be aware of that. Talking of Ramsey commissioners, as we were just a moment ago, Duan McGuinness, who's been on Man in Line before, Duan McGuinness is urging residents to take part in the town's first public accountability meeting. Now, the event at the Town Hall builds on the hustings held during April's local elections and gives people in Ramsey and around the chance to exercise their democratic right. Joan McGuinness says residents can't expect change if they don't provide feedback or challenge their elected members. Mr. McGuinness thinks you have to participate.
When I was standing for election earlier this year, we had our hustings meetings, which are very valuable and a great opportunity for members of the public to ask prospective members what they want to achieve and what they stand for. And then that is where the last interaction happens for most people for 4 years. But I think it's important that we as a board are as open and transparent as possible, are accountable to our public and interactive as much. So holding these what are effectively sort of in-house hustings seems a very logical step.
And would you just be able to explain about where it's happening and what people might be able to expect?
So it's going to be at Ramsey Town Hall at 7 p.m. on Wednesday the 24th of September. It's also going to be live streamed on our Facebook. You can submit questions in person, you can submit questions ahead of time online, and it should just be the board of Ramsey Town Commissioners giving a brief update of where we're at, where we're headed, and just allow the public to interact and ask what they want to know.
How important do you think this will be for the commissioners going forward? Obviously, if there's a low turnout, I know you mentioned in the meeting there that there might be calls for it to stop. So how important would it be for people to turn up to this first one?
I think it's really important that we exercise our democratic right, and that is at all levels, whether it's voting or engaging with local authorities. We can't complain as residents about our representatives if we don't give them feedback and ask questions. So as much interaction as possible is ideal.
That's interesting, and I wonder whether you agree. Do you think it is enough just to vote, or do you think you need to actually get involved in the process as it's going along? So the meeting's going to be held next Wednesday, 24th of September, 7 o'clock, Ramsey Town Hall, streamed live via the Commissioner's Facebook site. Any thoughts on that? If you're in and around Ramsey, it's often mentioned, and certainly on this programme, that elected representatives get your vote and then clear off and do what they do. And we, as voters, trust them to do that. Do you think this is a good idea? A public accountability meeting for Ramsey Town Commissioners. Any thoughts? Then by all means do get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Lots of messages to get through in just a few moments' time.
Ever wonder, have you got what it takes to be a firefighter, part-time or full-time? Come along to our Come and Try session, 25th of September, or female-only session on the 23rd. And visit gov.im/jobs.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Oil-fired boilers installed by Manx Petroleum keep homemakers happy and businesses a better place to be. If your current boiler is over 10 years old, you're missing out on better economy and efficiency. That's because today's oil-fired boilers from Manx Petroleum are the best they've ever been. From semi-detached dwellers to office occupants, our boilers and tank installations come with interest-free finance. Visit mp.im. Manx Petroleum, always here for you.
On October the 22nd, the Villa Gaiety is playing host to an evening with one of the UK's most popular TV stars, an audience with Kelvin Fletcher. For one night only, hear all about Kelvin's career, from Emmerdale to Strictly Champion, as well as his hit show, Fletcher's Family Farm. Don't miss out. Book your tickets online at villagaiety.com. An audience with Kelvin Fletcher at the Villa Gaiety. Brought to you by Mowgli Events and sponsored by Woodbourne Deli.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for getting in touch. As a local authority board member, it's very much common sense what you should and shouldn't post on social media in the public domain. We're here to represent ratepayers, not put ourselves on a podium. That's Alison. And there are ducks at the White Bridge, says this correspondent. And also, 121 tells me the culling of ducks is allowed with a licence. I know some people don't think the Gary Ford ducks are important, but it's important. But it's important to the ducks anyway. During a recent meeting about the Mallard's Botanic Garden being created by the software millionaire, we were told huge rocks are being imported from Ireland, says Muriel. Are these the rocks that came in today? There are about possibly at least eight, maybe more than that, huge rocks on two articulated lorry trailers were brought in, so maybe they're the huge rocks. They're being imported from Ireland, so apparently we don't have the right sort of rocks here for this botanic garden that's being created. Well, there we are. What's the Isle of Man? What's the Isle of Man coming to? We need less social housing, says Roy B. Because in social housing, people expect a free ride. I go to work, I have to pay full rent, I have to buy my own internet, I have to pay everything for myself. So it's annoying when we see so many trades vans outside social housing. Says Roy B, this is 505. We are not stupid, says Roy. We should end social housing and use the tax pounds more effectively. Would that be through selling the houses, Roy B? Do you think there should be a right to buy then? People in social housing should be allowed to purchase them. The whole telecom fibre thing, either everybody gets it free or everybody pays for it. Because if people got it by a certain time, they got put it in for free. Now I believe everybody has to pay. So how does that work, says 301. The works on the mountain aren't drainage experts, says Gary. You'll have to give a lot more detail, Gary. I'm sure you know what you're talking about, but I can't make any sense of what you're saying. And Howard's with us as well now. Hello, Howard.
Hiya, Andy. Just listened to you about the huge rocks that's been brought into the island.
Yeah.
I'm just saying to Howard, it must be somebody that's coming to live on the island, because the history of the island says that two giants, one in Ireland and one in England, I think it was, were fighting many, many years ago. And the Irish fella picked up a huge lump of rock and threw it across the Irish Sea. And it didn't make it, and it fell into the Irish Sea, and that's how we became the Isle of Man. So we've got as much Irish rock here as he ever need for his garden.
Okay, right. Well.
There's no need to import it. It's already here.
I would have thought we've got plenty of rock on there. We've got all types of rock as well, haven't we?
Yeah, but it depends on what he wants it for. They will import the imported rock for the extension on the airport down there. That came from Norway, I think, 40-ton blocks. It depends. The fella used to live in Fort Anne. What was his name? He imported Irish soil, so because his wife wouldn't come and live on the island unless she was living on Irish soil.
Oh, right. Oh, wow.
You know, Buck Whaley.
Oh, crikey, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, there's all little tales and all bits and pieces, but somebody ought to inform this fella he's just wasted all his money, because if he just dug down a bit, he'd find a load of Irish rock. Irish rock.
Well, I hear, by the way, Howard, the Camera Obscura is close to Easter, is that right?
It will be now, yeah. The weather, I haven't been up there because, well, a couple of little problems. Not with the thing, but health. And it will shut down for the winter period. there is some need to work to be done. The roof on that, believe it or not, is canvas. And it's on top of a wooden internal roof, but the canvas is 20 years old plus now, so that is going to need replacing. And that's why all the scaffolding was around it in the spring, although the DOI changed their mind and left it, took the scaffolding down. It will need replacing because they got somebody up there and all they'd done is to put what they term as flexible paint. It's like putting a plaster on a broken leg, a sticking plaster. But it'll still be there hopefully in the spring, Easter when we come round. If Peter is, the decision is usually made by Peter,
yeah,
to take private parties, but you do need fine sunny weather to get the best of the pictures.
The Peter we're talking about is Peter Kelly of the Victorian Society. That's right.
That's right. Peter's the one that, I wouldn't say runs the show, but he makes a lot of the decisions, whether we'll want or otherwise. But having said that, the weather is very, very important to the Camera Obscura for obvious reasons.
How well off are you for volunteers, Howard?
We got quite a few more this year and got quite a lot of them trained up. And strangely enough, we had two young people and they were on the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme. And they were there quite a few times through the summer and they were very, very good. They were very good with people and they're really interested in the Obscura. Because it is, again, like another little piece of history. And the uniqueness of it makes it very special. But it's 130 odd years old now, and because of conservation, it has to stay as it is. You can't go knocking it about and doing things. You've got to do work that complements the building.
Well, I think it's, the fact is that when you see old photos taken from sea of Douglas Head,
mm-hmm,
everything else has gone that was there before. You know, the old lift that burnt, the steam lift that burnt down. Obviously, the Douglas Head Hotel is now apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And the lookout, the Second World War lookout is now apartments. What was the Second World War HMS Valkyrie is now us. But and obviously the funicular railway's gone, but the Camera Obscura is there. It's fantastic.
It is. Well, I can remember the funicular. It was a cable car. Two cable cars.
It was balanced, wasn't it?
Yes. And I've ridden on them. I know. Go on, give me age away. But they didn't finish in 1953, 54. And for a long time, there was a large piece of cable just lying down the bottom, rolled up. But they were working up and down all day long. And they used to cross that little footpath that you come up and went right up to the top of the hill,
yeah,
up to where the restaurant, where those apartments are now. And, of course, there was hundreds of thousands of people going up there then.
Yeah.
And let's hope we get a large number coming back again. We got quite a few off the cruise ships this year.
Well, I would imagine, and it's one of the things that, you know, if you're on a cruise ship, you want to see something that's different and unique.
Yes.
And
yes,
there aren't many Camera Obscuras around.
There's a lot of them around, but nothing like that. They're single lens. And that one has the uniqueness of having what is now 11 lenses. There used to be 12 when it was built. And we've got the original lens within the building. And so that's what makes it so unique, is the number of lenses. It's a Victorian flat-screen telly with 11 different views all around the area.
But you could say that we invented reality television, Howard.
We did. Well, a number of years ago, and I can't remember his name, he had virtual reality goggles. And your program brought this on. He went down Doon Glen. There was an elderly lady in one of the care homes that wanted to walk down. Well, for her age, she was in her 90s. That was no way. So he went down, he filmed it all the way down with the sounds, etc. Then he came back and went into the care home and let her use the goggles. And she was, by virtue of those goggles, able to walk down the glen and back up again. And he asked Peter, would it be possible to open the Obscura so people could go up? And I was up there for 3 days. and this chap had the goggles. But when you work it, and you've just said the words, the camera obscura was Victorian virtual reality.
Yeah.
And we were able to see that and the modern version of the goggles and the... I actually stood... I had them on me and I stood on the stage. I can't remember. This fellow might come on onto your programme. But I stood on the gated stage and it was almost as if I was actually on the stage looking around. I was able to walk down what we look, or you're looking at, down the back of the breakwater wall, the new breakwater wall, able to walk down there because he had permission to go down, and also the lighthouse. The lighthouse had been up when I was very much younger. But you walked right up to the top into the lens room, and it's the word there, virtually. It's almost as if you were actually in there. So real is it. In fact, I looked down and there was nothing under my feet and it frightened the life out of me. It did. I was up in the lens room. But when this chap came up, we were there for 3 days and it was free, and they were able to use both the Victorian virtual reality and the modern reality.
Wow.
So I'd like to see him come back again sometime, but it would have to be during the summer months when they can actually see the pictures. But the detail on those pictures, you can see butterflies flying past. People think they're a photograph until something moves,
wow.
And especially children.
Okay, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care.
Good to hear from you. Yes, the rocks, by the way, says everybody's telling me now, apparently this is for Mr. Shuttleworth, who's making a Kew Garden replica for his home in Santon. He's the guy who paid a lot of money, didn't he, as it was a passenger in space. And the rocks... for the boat because it's too high. No, they're not. They're for this garden anyway. And the Ben McCree was so light because they scrimped on the steel to make it cheaper. Is that right? She was built in Holland, wasn't she? In, was it Vlissingen or somewhere like that she was built? Anyway, Judy's with us now. Hello, Judy.
Oh, hello, Andy.
Hello, Judy. You sound miles away.
Oh, that is Colby and the... The hounds in Colby.
Right.
I'll move.
You're not on hands. You're not on hands free, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Anyway, what's on your? What's on your? Yeah, put the phone close to your mouth. What's on your mind?
It's Mr. Robert Shaw and his comments today about policing.
Yeah.
I just want to agree with him about concerns about police carrying handguns. I wasn't actually aware that they were doing this, but about a month ago, I saw a police officer get out of just an ordinary police car, not a unit, not a special van, just an ordinary patrol car, and approach a van driver up near King Bill's. And you could quite clearly see the handgun as he's leaning into the cab, and it actually very much concerned me, because I feel that if we're going to regularly arm our police just on patrol, it will probably raise the levels that criminals will go to. You know, they will arm themselves accordingly. So that's how I feel about that, and I don't understand how we've got to that point without even being asked as a community, you know, that we want to have armed police on our streets.
Well, the chief constable said he's taken advice from experts on this.
Yeah, I understand that. I've lived here over 20 years now, and I still don't believe that armed police... You know, I understand if you've got a problem and you need to send a unit within half an hour, you know, less than 40 minutes, because that was the issue, wasn't it? I understand that, but I'm talking about just ordinary coppers... on, you know, out on an ordinary day, carrying handguns. Is that really necessary? I don't agree with that. But I also feel that Mr. Robert Shaw's point suggesting it was work, I don't think that was helpful. I think that detracts from the whole discussion. Definitely not work. But I just really feel uneasy about that very much.
So when you say it, what was your feeling then when you saw this police officer on a routine call... a routine work with a handgun. Well, how did you feel?
I was very shocked. I mean, you see it in France. I travel a lot to Europe, and you see it all over because those police have been armed for years. But we don't have that. I wouldn't see that out in the UK either, would I? If I met a police officer in Worcestershire where my friend lives, he would not be armed. So why is it necessary here for just an everyday cop to have a handgun? I don't think that's acceptable.
Mm. Okay, all right.
It's a slippery slope, to be honest.
All right, Judy, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. Thanks for that. This is the it was Judge Chris Robertshaw was on Perspective on Sunday, and he said that the Chief Constable has imported is the mindset of Chief Constables in the UK. And he said that it's gone woke. Chief Constable obviously said that, Chris Robertshaw, former MHK, is entitled to his own opinion in terms of armed policing. But he, as Chief Constable, wants to rely on the advice and support from specialists in the field of armed policing to inform his decision-making and so on, to minimise the risk to the public and maximise the safety of the officers. He also said he was puzzled by his inference that to enhance the effective and efficient deployment of authorised firearms, and these are authorised firearms officers, these are not kind of anybody can pick a gun up. The authorised firearms officers is indicative of woke policing, and as the Chief Constable, I would argue that the contrary is true, that it's not woke. Have you got any thoughts on this? I got a message in from Rennie, who just said, regarding the arming of police, I suppose that the Chief Constable would say, and he's gone to great lengths to talk about the threat from drugs gangs and the fact that obviously he has to protect his officers, so they may go into a situation where they don't know if somebody's armed. But Rennie says, it just seems that the Isle of Man is a bit less innocent than it used to be now. You got any thoughts?
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Lucky's Aid was founded in memory of Lucas Lucky Martin, who lost his life to meningitis aged just 21. Lucky was an inspirational character who lived life to the full, and his charity aims to honour his memory by helping young people facing adversity through poverty, bereavement or disability. You can find out more by visiting lucky's-aid.org. That's lucky's-aid.org.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Logan Air says, let the wee ones fly. Kids aged 11 and under go fare free. Just pay the taxes. Your next family adventure awaits. Book by the 23rd of September. Find deals at loganair.co.uk. T's and C's apply, subject to availability. Children must travel with a full fare-paying accompanying adult.
Customers love Big Red self-storage Ronald's Way. And now Big Red Tremode has arrived with 68 ground floor units. Don't know what size you need? Our online tool will help with prices from just £8 a week and your first 4 weeks half price. Big Red offer 24/7 access, covered loading bay, trolleys, stable temperature, automatic lighting and CCTV. Check out Big Red Tremode behind the old vehicle test centre. BigRed.im. Call 640040.
Heating oil for homes, powering farms and businesses, keeping you moving with petrol stations across the island. Ellen Vannin Fuels. Call us on 84 4000.
The Journey to a Dream podcast is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance and is predominantly all about bike racing. And if you thought bike racing was all about speed, you'd be wrong.
I think we drank more cups of tea than we did litres of fuel. I think we did 265 cups of tea, I think it was, in the end.
Do you rate your tea making skills?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Okay. Yorkshire, proper, good brew, no sugar, just a dash of milk on there from Isle of Man Creameries, of course. That is a proper cup of tea.
You can find the Journey to a Dream series on the Manx Radio website or wherever you download your podcasts.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Anne's on now. Hello, Anne.
Good afternoon, Andy. Yes, I'd just like to speak about the armed policing.
Yeah.
And that is a situation that arose in Port Erin, where there was a young man on the phone to the crisis team. They're not the most sympathetic or empathetic team in the first place. So what they did was they got sick of talking, counselling the young man, and they sent the armed response unit into him, into a mental health patient, instead of a mental health nurse and an ambulance, which I find quite bizarre, and maybe a an abuse of our armed response unit.
What do you think about the principle in general of having... I mean, we've always had firearms for police to call on at some points. At some point, they could, you know, they could be issued. But if police officers are walking around with firearms, how do you think... I mean, how do you feel?
Intimidated. And as an ex-commissioner... I'm in full agreement of the public account meeting, because there's things going on behind the scenes that, as commissioners, well, we were meant to represent the constituents, but what seems to be happening is they're getting in and they're working to another agenda and turning their backs on the constituents, and actually doing an Open University Law degree when I was a commissioner, and putting practical application to this law degree. I was finding things weren't running along the lines of being lawful.
Yeah.
And a democracy is meant to be a government by the people, but we're voting people in that don't have our best interest at heart, apart from maybe the Castletown MHKs. I'd like to compliment them. They seem to be the only ones who have, you know, their eyes on the actual concept of representing their constituents. But yeah, armed police, very intimidating. The whole thing, very intimidating, and I'm sure it's not lawful.
I mean, the chief constable's duty is to protect his officers. I mean, that's his job. So, I mean, if any officer went into a situation where they were physically threatened and they didn't have a firearm, I mean, you know, the chief constable could end up having to address that officer's family with the worst news.
Oh, absolutely. Remember, Chief Constable Robin Oates' son. We'll just leave that there. And they were all meant to be well-trained. But we do have a well-trained armed response unit that they can call on, and they shouldn't be going into dangerous situations. But I've also believed there was a constable go in with it may have been a taser, not a handgun, but who can tell the difference, into Victoria Road School. That actually terrified the children. And maybe this is what it's about. It's about to control, it's about terrify the nation. It makes it more easier to control and bully them, doesn't it, for the police.
Okay, and we appreciate it.
Just another thing.
Yeah, go on.
All these laws and acts that they're passing, remember, these are the people we're voting in. They're turning their backs on us and using us as their meat for the banks. So just to find us, and our constables aren't constables anymore. Peacekeepers, revenue collection officers. I'll leave you with that one.
Thanks for calling today. Could anybody come on and tell me why we pay for fibre when you rent off the commissioners? Surely the commissioner should pay for fibre to be put in, says 301. Noel Edmonds is back in New Zealand now, 375, watching Noel. He posted on his Instagram page, what a pleasure to have had him on the Isle of Man for so long. Hope to see him back next year. Well, he's got a property here now, hasn't he? He'll be back in the Moorook on that machine that he likes so much. The rocks. Everybody's telling me about the rocks now for Mr. Shuttleworth's big garden. I've got the photo. Somebody sent me the photos. They were on the boat this morning. Oh, and talking of the boat, I've got a message from somebody who's on the Manxman. Further delayed. We're still on board, holding just outside Heysham port for another 30 minutes while another ship docks. So still some more delay there as well. We need to accept the fact that the Isle of Man has changed. If armed police are needed, they are needed. That's from 185. The Isle of Man is no different from anywhere else. Armed police is part of everyday life, and we should accept it. We should get used to it. These are well-trained police officers, and the Chief Constable is correct. We should support the Chief Constable, not try to knock his ideas down, says this correspondent. There's an old giant's house up north on the subject of drainage. There are many people who are very concerned about the Balamoda and the amount of water. The trees aren't there to drink anymore. It affects our drainage. Why are perfect trees, some 100 years old, being felled, all shipped via Mesram? We need answers. Why are the governments making... how much are they making from the destruction of the forests, says Crystals. Well, the plantations are there for that reason, Crystal. They're plantations. They're meant to be culled. Remember, the ducks and geese are wild. In fact, they're probably livid when they're shot, says 3134, our resident comedian today. I regularly hear the anti-wind lobby rhetoric. People are entitled to their view, but it should be remembered that much of what the climate scientist Paul Burgess has said has been publicly discredited, says 623. Paul Burgess was on last year, wasn't he, talking about that? The lady who rang has a valid point. I'm scared that there's going to be an accident when some poor soul loses their life because of this. If it's not broken, why try to fix it, says CC. I hope somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember the Chief Constable saying on the radio that the Isle of Man reminded him of Manchester 20-odd years ago. Since then, we have armed police on patrol. We've had a fatal child stabbing. We've had people trafficking, organised gang crime, and probably a load of stuff going on that I know nothing about. So, is this welcome to the Isle of Manchester, says Alison. Well, Mr. Foster, the Chief Constable, he knows of what he speaks. He's worked all over the north of England, in the west of Yorkshire. He knows about anti-terrorism, and while anti-terrorism isn't really applicable to the Isle of Man, the fact is times have changed. Oh, I got a note in from somebody who said, what do you mean by, is the Isle of Man innocent? An innocent way of life. We're very trusting as a nation. We're very domesticated. Lots of people still don't lock their front door. Most people don't lock their car doors when they go to a garage and fill up with fuel. Now, in the UK, nobody. You can guarantee nobody leaves their car open when they get petrol or diesel from a petrol station. They just don't. The fear of crime in the UK is enormous. So, that story about Lizzie Shimmin, by the way, Elizabeth Shimmin's comments as criminal, they've asked us to amend that. The article has been updated following a clarification from Ramsey Town commissioners for that matter involving Commissioner Shimmin's comments being investigated. It's not a criminal investigation. The local authority has acknowledged that the statement issued at the beginning of last night's meeting was erroneous and has issued a clarification. So that's not a criminal investigation at the moment. I think this may be a good idea from the Chief Constable, as we have no idea who's resident on the Isle of Man, and we have no ID on the boats. So surely the Chief Constable is only doing his job, 439, only doing his job because his first job is to protect the people of the Isle of Man.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Just a quick word. I got a message in from Shelley, who said to me, what was that thing about £327,000 with the handling of the Roslyn Ranson case? Well, that was the cost of it. That was the cost of it. The latest report states that £327,708 was spent on the review. This is the independent review, Richard Wright KC, to conduct a probe of the management of the Roslyn Ranson case. The select committee was formed of three Timbal members, and they revealed the final cost of the review, £327,708. Of course, in counting, because it cost us £3.2 million to pay Dr. Roslyn Ranson, £3.2 million. And she adds an addendum and just says, £3.2 million. Let's just accept the average earnings on the Isle of Man is £50,000. It's not, but just follow me for an average. So 20% tax on £50,000 will be £10,000. It will need 320 taxpayers tax for 1 year to pay Dr. Rosalind Ransom. She was the Isle of Man's medical director, remember, a prominent figure during COVID. She took the Department of Health and Social Care to an Employment and Equality Tribunal, and it was upheld. She was unfairly dismissed. 320 taxpayers, tax for a year, paid Dr. Rosalind Ransom. Right, that's it. Thanks to Howie on the phone today. Back tomorrow. WINT.